With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, D.C., Maryland, Virginia? Good morning. Good Monday morning to you. We're the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. Visit EMP180.com and get empowered today. Good morning. I'm Cakes. I'm joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
To my right, at EB Junkies on Twitter and the Instagram.
Thank you.
And back from a week of AK is one Jason Bishop.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hello,
welcome
sir.
Back.
Thank you.
Where were you at? Hilton Head?
Hilton Head, yeah, man.
That's beautiful, allegedly, right? I've actually
it's great
been there.
Down there. But, I mean, man, the freaking drive is just brutal. Was that's that a hellacious drive.
Is that further south than Kiowa?
No,
or no?
It's not as south.
It's not.
It's about 7 hours?
No, it was 10.
Yeah.
10? Oh, because yeah. Kiowa's like 9.
South Carolina, or Hilton Head's literally like right on the South Carolina Georgia border.
Yeah, it's right near Savannah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think Kia was.
Oh, is it further? Is it further
Kia
south?
Yes, it is.
Kia was further north.
I'm getting it mixed up with Myrtle.
Yeah, Myrtle's shorter.
Myrtle's way further north.
Myrtle's like 6 hours away.
Yeah.
No, Hilton Head's way down there.
I think that's true. Why I've never been.
It's a good
it's just
point.
A little bit too far.
It's awful.
Apparently, Jason's
like 20 minutes north of Savannah.
He scheduled his vacay so he could watch all of the RBC Heritage golf tournament.
Well, that was another thing. I mean, Hilton Head was jammed because of that, plus spring break.
Yeah.
And the weather was great. But it's just, once I was down there, it was fine. It's great.
Yeah.
Beaches
just
are great. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a haul, man. It's 3.5 hours through South Carolina. It's 3.5 hours through North Carolina. And then you get to Virginia, you go, all right, it's another 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's and I told my wife, I said, the last time we went, I said, I'm never driving it again.
Right.
And what do? I drive it again.
Because, I mean, the drive sucks, but it is cheaper than plane tickets for your entire family.
Well, plus we got the dog. You got to bring the dog.
I mean, you had to bring Luca. You can't bring a dog on a flight.
Right, exactly. I mean, so that's the reason.
Some planes allow you, right? Do they have to be smaller? Or how does that work? What if you have a big dog?
I mean, you don't have to put him in, like, a cage and put it in the cargo hold. You can't just carry it on the plane.
Is that what they do? Let's say you're flying out to L.A. because you're moving to L.A. and you're bringing your dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's
what do you do? What if you have, like, a big dog?
You gotta bring it. Stash it.
I guess you stash it on the plane.
They put the big dogs with the luggage?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Well, not all planes. They won't do it, but some airlines will.
I mean, the bigger planes probably would.
Okay.
But it was just never a thought.
Yeah.
So it was just a great time down there, but man, it was just far.
And what was the...
ass hurt. Everything hurt. My shoulder, my neck, my ass.
You're getting old.
My legs.
You're not designed for that drive anymore.
You're just sitting in one spot for 10 hours. You know, we stopped a couple times, but
you had to dodge the deep vein thrombosis.
You could have had a blood clot.
Embolism.
I felt like I did have a blood clot.
Well, so there's a lot of things you have to deal with on a long drive like that.
And I don't trust anybody else to drive, so I wasn't going to let my daughter drive. I wasn't going to let my wife drive. So I did the whole
slog.
Yeah, 20 hours.
Back and forth.
Yep. Well, I had to drive to Philly. Now, it wasn't nearly as long, but there was traffic. So what's normally a 2.5 hour trip took almost 4 hours, whenever the hell that was, Friday. And I was exhausted from doing the show. And so I had my son drive. We stopped at the Maryland house. I said, we're just going to have to stop. We're going to switch.
Valdez Butts Iced.
I know that's your guy's spot.
Did you eat like Phillips or some sort of Maryland
tradition? No, there's a new sort of like health food store, like right on the right-hand side when you first get there.
Okay.
So they have, you know, like salads and foofy little wraps or whatever. So we just got something like that. But the whole point was just to switch drivers.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, here, I'll just sleep. But I can't sleep when my son drives because he drives like 80 and he's tailgates.
Yeah, so tilting.
And so I have one eye open. It's not relaxing at all.
No, it can't be.
I mean, he's a fine driver,
I
guess.
That's the way I feel with my wife. My wife loves to tailgate.
Yeah, my wife does too. And they're just too close to the back bumper. They're just too comfortable being close to the back bumper of cars.
Yeah.
And so I can never
I'm
relax.
I'm not comfortable ever in that scenario.
No,
ever.
I leave bus
I leave so much space
between me and the car in front of
all
me.
All I am is a cautious driver. That's
right.
All.
Right.
Well, yeah. Good. Well, I just don't trust anybody else besides myself.
Yeah. Well, plus, when you can't see, let's say you see the car in front of you, but you can't really see in front of that car, and their brake lights go on, mm-hmm. you don't know there could be 100 cars right in front of them.
Sure.
Yeah. It just tilts me.
I'm with you on that.
Tilts me that my wife and my son, they're just completely comfortable riding the ass of the car in front of them.
Right. Well, here's the other thing. I left on Saturday morning. I left the house at Hilton Head at, we got up at 3:15,
mm-hmm.
and I left the house at 4.
Right.
Because
that's good.
You want to, I mean, the traffic was going to be awful, so we tried to get on the road as early as possible.
It's 95 north.
And we still hit some traffic, but it would have been worse if we would have left Hilton Head at 9 or 10.
Oh, you'd have been
and driving at 4 a.m. when you've only had a few hours sleep and you're driving 10 hours, man, that's hard.
It's brutal.
Well, I would have switched.
I've done it once a year every year, and it sucks.
That's
every
one of the
time.
Hardest things I've ever done.
It's really because hard. Well, that's why I would have switched.
The sun's not even close to coming up. You're driving in pitch black.
Right.
You're tired.
Well, it hits you later.
Else on the
road. Early part is
later.
Fine. It hits you
it
later.
Hit me about 2 hours later.
Yeah.
2-3 hours later. But it's just a hard thing to do physically and mentally. It's hard to do.
Can you guys stop boohooing about your driving? I had to drive into D.C. for the Caps game this past weekend. Thank you very much.
At least you saw a drubbing.
Saw just an ass kicking, which you had to love. Capital One Arena, defending home ice.
That was exactly the kind of response you're looking for after game four. You needed something dominating like that to get us off the panic meter. My panic meter was at about a 7.5.
Yeah, it was very high.
I think now it's probably at about a 4. Still a little elevated. I can't drop it down to 1 because if you lose, we're in a game 7 situation.
But the building was just absolutely on fire. I mean, it was an 8. First of all, it was an 8 o'clock puck drop on Saturday night.
Right.
So I'm hanging out with my son and his buddy at the MGM Lounge. Thanks to my man Jim Van Stone for setting up everything. It's very appreciated. So I was like, 8 o'clock puck drop. We have to get back in our seats. What I failed to realize was, national TV game, meaning that's the scheduled start time, but the actual puck drop wasn't about until 8:20.
Right.
So I mean, I'm just sitting there for 20 minutes, anthem, you know, on ice ceremonies. Ryan Kerrigan getting the crowd fired up.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool. Doing the TJ Oshie on the Jumbotron, drinking his beer through his cap sweater.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool. But I mean, the atmosphere in that building was at a fever pitch from just the beginning of the game.
Was it loud?
It was amazing.
And the Caps came out and they changed sort of the tone of the series. Instead of being out hit, they out hit them.
They were the aggressors.
I think they punked them like 48 times.
Yeah.
And Smith Pelly, kind of a big part of it.
Smith Pelly returns. He's such a cult hero with the Caps. I mean,
he provided another level of energy, I think.
Yeah.
For that
definitely.
Team.
Definitely.
Obviously needed it.
His physicality. So Caps fans, I know I don't speak for all of Cap Nation, but, you know, I certainly breathe a sigh of relief after that, right? It takes me down a little bit. Takes me down a notch.
Then you got another big one tonight.
For sure.
And as far as the physicality, too, you love to see Dougie Hamilton wimp out going into the boards with Ovi because he didn't want the thunder crashing down on him.
Right.
He hesitated. Ovi goes in, scoops out the puck, gets it to Connolly. I think that made it 3-0, and then the route was just on. You just knew there was no way the Caps were relinquishing that lead that they had built.
Yep.
And then they just kept pouring it on. It was great.
Well,
I wanted to score
what?
10 goals.
If they win this series, it'll alleviate a little bit of the pain that you and I suffered with the loss of the Tampa bet.
Yeah. And I'm fully paid up. I brought you in the money this morning.
Yep.
So that hurt a little bit. That stung.
Yep.
I had forgotten about it
for
a few days.
Obviously, I wasn't here last week. I'm sure that the listeners and the boys gave you a lot of crap for that loss.
It's fine.
It was the way they lost.
Yeah, it was just that they were up 3-0 in game one. And then they get swept.
Completely fell
apart.
It was incredible.
But the NHL playoffs have been topsy-turvy all the way around. It's been crazy. It's been wacky.
Both one seeds lose in the first round.
Calgary dispatched, showing the door by Colorado, so they're out. As you mentioned, the one seed in the East, the top seed overall, the Lightning, swept. The Pens at home, swept.
I will say, I'm certainly not counting my chickens here. But,
no,
but
of course not.
If the Caps can get by Carolina, obviously, you know, the Islanders are very good, and Trotz has, you know,
kind of
a vendetta against the Caps. He certainly wants to beat them. But you know, the strength of the conference isn't as bad as it could have been with
right.
Tampa advancing and obviously, you know,
of course.
You don't want to play Pittsburgh ever.
Right.
So
I agree with you 100%.
Let's see what happens.
By the way, you were gone all last week, so we didn't get to touch on Tiger.
I know.
Tiger's big win. How awesome was that?
You won't believe this, but I didn't see any of it live because I was going to leave my house Sunday morning, Master Sunday, at 5 a.m. to get to Hilton Head by 2:33 and see all the leaders. Right? But,
yeah.
Of course, the weather pushed
curveball.
All the... Curveball.
Throwing your way.
All the tee times get moved to, you know,
right.
4 or 5 hours, and Tiger tees at 9:30. I was screwed.
Tiger!
So I listened to the entire round, his entire round, on PGA Tour radio.
Right. Well, that works. That's different.
You know, it took a lot out of it.
I know that put the rest of your family to sleep. I mean, you were riveted, but they had to.
Yeah, they
looked like they took a knockout pill on the way down to Hilton Head.
It was incredible. Unbelievable. Unbelievable story.
Yep, 15.
Kind of surreal. I mean,
15 and counting now. Jim Nantz said, I don't know if you saw the comments, he said it's the greatest event he's ever covered.
I did see that, yeah.
He covered the 86 Masters. He's covered, I think, did he say 34 or 38 Final Fours, a bunch of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Bunch of Masters. I mean, greatest event he's ever covered.
It was unbelievable to see.
And
just an unbelievable story.
What's great now is the way the schedule is. We don't have to wait forever for the next major. It's next month.
Mm-hmm.
Moving the PGA up, so...
PGA's in May, yep.
Super exciting. But here we are, Cakes.
By the way,
golf season.
Pivoting off Tiger, I woke up yesterday to the two guys I had picked for the golf pool leading. I had DJ and Ian Poulter.
Yeah, and one and two.
Leading, 1 and 2. I was like, well, I'm butt-sized. If this holds true to form, I'm going to scoop the weekly pot. I'm going to have a score of 3 for the week, and you always want the lower score.
Right.
And you'll have the outright winner.
And then DJ apparently forgot how to play golf on at least, like, I think from hole 7 or 8 on.
He must have gone out.
In the final round.
I'm convinced he went out the night before.
I mean, what was happening?
The tide went on.
What happened with him yesterday?
Don't know.
I don't
know.
You
didn't have CT Pan?
I didn't have CT Pan. Yeah,
only one guy in the pool had him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ian Poulter. He's looking good.
Right.
And then he just starts tumbling down. He follows DJ's lead, starts tumbling down the leaderboard, too.
DJ went from 1 to, where did he end up finishing? 28th.
I was so disgusted, I didn't even watch. I said, this is finished.
Yeah. Well, I listened to that one because I was driving back. So I pulled a lurch. I was listening to that as I was driving back to Philly. And Cooch.
I had Cooch, yeah.
Cooch did well, though. He set the tone, and he was first in at 11 under, and people are still cheering for him. And I find myself really put off by him, by the stories that have come out over the last 6 months or so. So I was so happy that he didn't win.
Yeah.
He still seems to be a crowd favorite.
People still cheer for Tiger, and he's a bad dude. People still love him.
That's true.
Yeah, they kind of forget all the off-course stuff.
Right. But Tiger, like, thrills you. Cooch, I thought people just liked him because he was goofy and he smiled.
Right.
Yeah, a nice guy. But
yeah. I mean, Tiger, you root for him because he's freaking thrilling on the golf course. There's nothing thrilling about Match Cooch's golf.
Have we heard that Tiger is a bad tipper?
Heard he's notorious for that, too. Cheap.
Yeah, so he's a bad tipper, too.
He's a freaking billionaire and he's cheap. Although, did you see that he showed up at the woods over the weekend in his green jacket? He pulled a Sergio.
Nice.
You know what? Yeah. They need that good PR after that that health department report that came out of late the food being dicey.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You missed that.
It was back in November, but yeah, they did have, I think it's pretty standard at restaurants, but they did find something that wasn't stored at the right temperature.
Oh,
well,
no wonder you got sick there.
They walked in, they said,
2 years ago.
We had a report that Eric Bickle was violently ill, so we're checking the
food.
You
think that's standard at restaurants?
I think it's pretty standard. When the health department does checks that they'll find something. I think so. I don't think it's unusual.
Not at most restaurants.
Yeah. I don't think it's that unusual.
It's pretty crippling.
Yeah.
I think.
No, I think if you look more into it, I've worked at a lot of restaurants. I think that kind of thing happens.
What were they saying that the
They had the something with the salmon or something wasn't stored at the right temperature or whatever. I don't know if it was salmon. It was something.
Gotta have that
salmon. It
was salmon.
A 1 day thing and they came back and it.
Right.
Pass the test or whatever.
All right. So apologetic for the woods.
I mean, it's true, but
it's Tiger related.
I know.
It's true, but I think I worked a lot of restaurants. I don't think it's unusual to find violations like that.
Well, you would think the Tiger's restaurant wouldn't have a violation, but.
You got kids.
He didn't care.
You got kids.
He was too busy winning the Masters.
You got kids running it. They're a bunch of donks.
Yeah. But no, that was just an unbelievable sports story.
Yeah, and it's reinvigorated the chase now.
Absolutely.
It's back on.
Well, it's not just, you know, that Tiger, it's better for the sport of golf that Tiger
is
relevant again.
Of course it is. Takes it to another level.
It really does.
I mean, the ratings were through the roof, even for the 9:30 tee off.
Yep.
For Tiger.
And that was the first time that Tiger had ever come back when trailing after 54 holes to win a major.
Which was massive.
Which is interesting because, you know, we kind of thought that Tiger didn't kind of impose his will on other players, and other guys weren't afraid of Tiger.
Weren't intimidated by him or anything.
There was no intimidation factor, but it really looked like there was an intimidation factor.
Like
old Tiger.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys were wilting.
Yeah, but it's just, he's just so solid. He's just been there. He showed the experience.
He knows exactly where to hit the ball. He knows where to miss it. I mean, it's...
Yeah. It's just awesome.
But his iron play was just stupid.
Yeah. Led the tournament in greens of regulation. Yeah. Anyway, this was a story from a week or so ago, but I didn't get to talk to Jason about it because he was off last week. But, you know, in a few weeks, we'll be doing it again.
I got to say, I mean, I was completely wrong about Tiger in the comeback. You were 100% right. You said
we'll see.
You said he would win again. I certainly didn't think he would win a major again.
Yeah.
I was kind of on the fence on whether or not he would win a tournament. You were all over it.
The only time I did lose
faith.
And I
could see him win it. I mean, he'd be the favorite in my eyes in the rest of the majors.
Yeah,
the way he played.
He's going to be in the mix. The only time where I did lose faith in Tiger was after the DUI arrest. I did think that was rock bottom. Now, if he ever got healthy and was able to tee it up again, then I thought he could do it. But that really did look like rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing comeback.
It's a big Caps day here on 106.7 The Fan. Caps travel to Carolina, hopefully to close out the Canes in Game 6. While Rob Carlin, Caps studio host on NBC Sports Washington, he'll join us at 8. And Barry Sverluga, Washington Post sports columnist, he'll be on the show at 9:20 right here on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the show, Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in just over an hour at 7:45, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see your Washington Nationals take on San Diego. So keep listening for your chance to win those Nats tickets coming up at 7:45.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Strauss pitched a gem, right?
They needed that big time, right?
You get swept
by the Marlins. Yeah,
that was an ugly stretch. It was a bad look that they were about to put on over the weekend.
Especially when they hadn't scored since like Monday when they started their series. But what jumped out at me is Strauss is already, this is one of the headlines, or the first paragraph there by Jesse Daugherty in the Washington Post. Strauss is already 30. The 30-year-old righty who became the Nats' all-time leader in innings pitched stuffed 11 strikeouts into 8 scoreless innings. I'm like, oh, my God, Strauss is already 30.
You think you're not on a bullet train to the cemetery over here?
I mean, he's been in the league 9 years.
It's just incredible.
And he's been in the league for how many years? Is it nine or ten?
Jason said nine.
And I think it's nine.
Being there for opening night.
He's been in this market his entire career. He's played for the Nats his entire career. Yet AWOD, when he was on a show yesterday, but apparently he can't pronounce his name correctly.
Can you say his name?
Oh, really?
Can you say the guy that pitched 8 innings, struck out 11?
Steven Strasburg.
What a dummy.
Can we have a montage from the show yesterday?
Have you ever watched the Nats game? Have you ever turned one on? Have you ever listened to our guys?
I've been watching every single Strass performance for the past 3 years. I love Steven Strasburg. I'm the biggest fan of his. I don't know why people hate him.
He's doing a bit.
I don't know. Is that live or is that from a show? I wasn't even looking at him.
No, that was him.
That was him. Right. Yeah. No.
Oh, you're the biggest Strasburg fan?
What else is in the Nats news? Oh, this was interesting. I saw Steven Strasburg has thrown the most innings Washington Nationals history.
This is something that we worked on like 8 years ago. The correct pronunciation of Strauss's name. We worked this out like 8 years ago. Where have you been?
I don't understand. Is he from Poland or something?
In America,
it's just
it's
how
Strass.
It's just how people pronounce it. You're the only guy in town still calling him Strasburg.
I guarantee I'm not the only guy.
You're basically
tomato, tomato. Who says Strauss?
Well, if someone pronounced your last name Epstein,
you know what I would say?
What would you say?
Thanks for calling me by my name.
You know who calls him Strasburg? Charlie Slows. Dave Jagler.
Exactly. Have you never listened to the call on the radio?
What? Those guys are professional.
Drabby, this is where this is big tell. He doesn't watch.
Did he just say those guys are not professional?
No, those guys are professional.
Are, okay. Right.
He said he's watched every Strasburg start.
Yeah, it's
but
a
he
lie.
But he hasn't heard them pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Strasburg.
It's a big lie. Right.
No. I get they pronounce it their way. For me, it comes out of my mouth, Strass, so I say Strass.
Well, what about if Steven Strasburg pronounces it Strasburg?
Good for him.
Does that count?
It is his name.
I guess all that matters is how it comes out of his dumb mouth.
Right.
Chanel's history. Right.
Look,
let me hear the rest of that.
Yeah, you got to listen to that.
Chanel's
yeah.
history. 2005 to the present, he passed none over than my favorite lefty when he was in D.C.
He said none over.
None over.
To the present.
Said none
he passed none over than my favorite lefty when he was in D.C., Gio Gonzalez. He's now pitched 1,254 one-third inning pitches for Steven Strasburg. I said it
mess.
A few weeks ago.
You're just a mess. That's so funny.
Oh, man.
I stumbled and bumbled, but I got to the finish line.
But you know when
you can catch the whole show on the podcast.
People stumble and bubble when they don't know what the hell they're talking about. That's when you stumble and bubble. That's when you fall apart because you second guess yourself. You don't really know what you're reading.
You're right, but I did. I was heavily prepared.
Yeah,
sounds like it.
Yeah, but yeah, try watching the games.
I've been listening
to the announcers when they pronounce the names.
No, I get that. I've been calling him Bryce Harper. You guys don't get me on that.
I've never heard you call him that ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard you not say Bryce Harper like most normal people do.
Right. Anyway, just struck me. I couldn't believe that Strauss is already 30. Here we are.
Yeah.
9 years later.
This is year 10, actually. This is year 10.
Big surprise, by the way. He has more wins against the terrible Marlins than any team that he's faced. And it makes sense. They're an NL East team. He's going to face them more than anybody else.
He hadn't been very good at all this year.
The Nats were desperate for that sort of performance.
I mean, in three of his four starts, he was way below average. And it's okay to give up four or five runs in six innings if you're a $25 million player.
Right.
But when you sign for $175 million, you need better than that.
Well, you know, what's funny is we had Rizzo on after the last performance, and Rizzo was claiming that, you know, because it was the game where he gave up three bombs, and he said, look, other than like three or four pitches, he actually was really good. He was actually encouraged by the last performance. And then he backs it up with this. So maybe, you know, Mike knows a little bit more than we do. But if you look at the starter's ERA going in that game, he had the worst. By far, I think going in, it was like 5.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I tell you, Bearclaw came in and pitched 2/3 of an inning. I guess Doolittle got the last out eventually. I like Bearclaw. I like him. I think he's a keeper.
He certainly started off rough. Started the season off rough.
The Mets they're just lucky that nobody's started to run away with the NL East. I mean,
it's a jumbled
as
mess.
Poorly as they've played at 10-10, they're still 1.5 out of first place.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't played that well, and they're right there in the mix. But the problem is, you can't.
As they've played at 10-10, they're still 1.5 out of first place.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't played that well, and they're right there in the mix. But the problem is, you can't lose series to Miami.
I think I said you have to go in and sweep that series. You have to minimum win 2 of 3.
Right.
Can't lose 2 of 3 to the low-hanging fruit known as the Marlins.
And Max was really bad when he pitched. Gave up a ton of hits. But they needed that from Strasburg yesterday.
But this week is...
And by the way, Philadelphia plays the Mets starting tonight for, I think that's probably a 3-game series. So they'll beat up on each other a little bit.
Right.
That'll be good.
So the Nats have to go out to Denver and at least take 2.
This is NFL draft week. And I saw, so it's Thursday, right?
We
have the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's completely up for grabs. I don't know if you guys saw the same report from our old guy, Petey Prisco, who claims the Cardinals are now backing off Kyler Murray. We've kind of seen these reports for a while, but he's reporting that they're actually not going to select him. Mm. And it's kind of interesting because, I mean, Pete's been around a long time. That's not like just some random blogger. That's not just some random dude that you've never heard of. Prisco's covered the NFL for a long, long time. For him to put his name behind that, not as an anonymous source, and say, You know, he's hearing that they're not going to select Kyler Murray. That turns the draft upside down.
Does that get you
down.
A little bit horny?
It does because I think he
could be going to the old slide down the draft board.
I find it hard to believe that a team like the Raiders might not jump in and swoop in there, right? Because
they might. They're sitting there at four.
They seem to be hot and heavy, very secretive of what they're doing.
I can't believe it's NFL draft week already.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it changes the entire complexion of the draft. It makes it fascinating.
If they don't take him, yeah.
Yeah.
If they stick with Rosen.
And you were gone last week, so I don't know how much you were paying attention, but this has been the trend. People have been, Daniel Jeremiah, who I think people respect, he went out there and said a month ago he thought it was 90% that they were going to select him. Now he was down to 60%. That was like on Wednesday or Thursday of last week. Mm-hmm. Now Prisco's going on saying they're actually not going to select him. Now, Prisco could be wrong. They could pick him.
I don't know why you...
They have their own mocks. I mean, the guy I was reading today, R.J. White, has the Skins trading up to number 3 and taking Haskins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so...
I saw that,
I'll believe it when I see it.
But again, you don't know what to believe because how does it benefit the Cardinals to put any sort of info out there or intel that
they're not going to take
that
him.
They don't want him? Because then that just hurts their leverage.
If someone really does want him.
Yeah, you want to ransom that number one spot and have somebody move up, and you want to convince somebody that we're going after Kyler Murray.
But what if they're not intentionally putting it out there? Just some guy just leaked it. Just say, leaked it.
It's probably not on their end, but, man, that's damaging for them if they're not going to select him. Because then,
put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't take him at one, and I certainly wouldn't be surprised if they do.
I'll be surprised if they don't.
Now, if he slips to 15, I'll be surprised.
Right. But I will be surprised because I've thought all along they were going to take him. So even though the reporting is out there, I will be surprised if they don't because I've thought all along it was going to go one. So I will be surprised. If they take him, I won't be surprised because this is what I've thought for 6 weeks. Take him, I will be surprised.
I've just heard so many reports that I won't be surprised
because you don't know what to think.
Either outcome. I don't. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm just going to assume that what's been reported was going to, I just thought it was fait accompli. I mean, he's going to go number one.
Gil Brandt is comparing Daniel Jones to Peyton Manning.
Well, you know who Charlie,
what?
You know who Charlie compared him to, and this might be more accurate. Charlie likes him. He compared him to Brad Johnson.
Okay.
And if you knew you were getting Brad Johnson
at 15,
then it's a different story, right? So he doesn't have the same arm strength. He said his arm strength is better on tape than it is in workouts. It's just one of those weird things. He said Kurt Warner was that way. Who else did he say was that way? You'd see guys throw, and their arm wouldn't impress you, but then you put the tape on, and the throws were better.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Daniel Jones was like that. He said the big thing with Jones is his anticipation. He can read, anticipate.
He's a smart dude.
And he puts the throws on the money. He could see the guys, throws guys open, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know. 15 just seems high for a guy like that, but. These guys are watching him every day on tape. They did the interviews. They study him.
I still would be surprised if the Skins went quarterback. I think the only way they would go quarterback is if one that they love kind of fell to them. I don't see him trading up to get a Haskins or trading up for anybody else, really.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm actually hoping Murray doesn't go one because I think it makes the first round super interesting.
Just to see what team wants to go up there and snag.
Well, just see what happens. Just see the snowball sort of effect. And then, the Haskins rumors are fascinating, too. Because those rumors for the last week or 10 days have been that the media is more fascinated with him than the NFL is. In terms of the very upper echelon part of the draft. The upper tier of the draft. So, that'll be interesting.
We'll see.
I saw a mock this morning that had the Giants, of all people, selecting Murray if Murray doesn't go one. And the Giants have been the one team that everybody said Dave Gettleman will not select a guy like Kyler
Murray.
Doesn't
seem like a Gettleman type of pick.
That's not his kind of guy.
Yeah.
And yet a mock I saw
had. And he's
had
very rigid about the sort of dudes that he picks and where he picks from.
And he does. What's his deal? He doesn't trade down or doesn't trade
up? He's never traded down from a pick when he's been on the clock. Right. In the NFL draft.
He likes to snag his player.
The phone rings and he just doesn't pick it up. Or he picks it up and whatever he hears on the other end, he doesn't like.
Well, he clearly has a philosophy that he'd rather stay than move down.
Oh, yeah. He definitely adheres to that philosophy.
We'll see what happens this year. But, that's the thing. You read so many different reports. I just don't want it to affect my way of thinking about a certain player or a certain team. Because, you just pointed out three or four players and you're hearing both sides – just depends on who's talking to who.
It's true.
And I can't let that affect. I don't have any expectations besides the fact that I know Kyler Murray will probably go in the top 10. Right. I'm not sure if he's going to go 1 or 10. But everyone else, just flip a coin.
If
Jones, he gets anywhere close to 10, I know a guy sitting to my right is going to be very horny.
Well, I
probably
think
he can't wear sweatpants on the night of the draft.
I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. I would move mountains to get him.
He's your
but
guy.
I think the Redskins are scared.
Yeah. So,
and I get it. You know, they were burned on the Robert deal.
All right, we barely scratched the surface of the sports page. So when we come back, we'll get more into that. We'll talk about the Caps. Game 6, possible elimination game for the Hurricanes.
Where are you right now?
Tonight.
You never really, you try. Listen, you were clearly worried, but you went with this false bravado of only like a 4.
I believe I was vindicated. My stance clearly vindicated.
Well,
not
I mean,
panicked,
they won.
And then the Caps come out and boat race the Canes.
Right, but you were panicked in the way your mannerisms and the way you were acting.
Sure.
But
yeah.
But your number was very low. So as your number's got to have gone lower.
I'm 2? Like a, yeah, I'm like a 2 on the panic meter.
Yeah.
I just think the Caps
what
are
happens
more
if they lose
team.
Game 6?
It might tick up a little bit for Game 7.
A little bit?
Game 7s are always dicey. Yeah.
If you ever played a Game 7, I think your panic meter should be at 8 or
but
9.
But if the Caps do anything,
yeah, I don't care where they
if
play
the Caps
yeah.
can just sort of replicate what they did in Game 5 and
oh,
Game 6,
perfect.
They're just going to punish the Canes tonight, and hopefully that's the case. So we'll get into that and more next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget your chance to win Nats tickets coming up in just about an hour at 7:45. So you want to keep listening for your chance to win.
Hey, getting back to my Hilton Head trip real quick.
Yeah.
We stayed in... Hello. We stayed in North Forest.
Okay.
Right? So it's if you know Hilton Head, if you've been to Hilton Head, North Forest is right next to Caligny Circle. And so Caligny is kind of like the center of... It's where all the shops and restaurants and bars are. It's a good spot.
Yep.
And so we stayed in a little, you know, smaller house. It was only the 4 of us. So 3-bedroom and 2 baths. We had a pool. Nice. Mm-hmm. Off, you know, a couple blocks off the beach.
Okay.
But there was this one house on the beach where the people that were staying there were from Rochester.
Okay.
And, you know, we were talking to them and there were, I believe there were 6 families.
Okay.
Okay.
In one house.
One house.
Okay.
6 families.
Yeah.
And they, you know, each couple had a couple kids. So there were six, there were 12 adults. There was probably, you know, 12 or 13 kids.
Right.
You know, half of them boys, half of them girls. All right. So about 25 people. And I looked at the house. I went online and looked at the house. The house slept 25 people. I mean,
just
it was
a monster.
It was incredible. And I looked up the price.
Yeah.
It was $17,000 for the week for this house.
Okay. But if you have 6 families and you chop it,
I get it.
It's reasonable.
I get it, but I don't think I could stay in a house with 25 people.
Yeah, it's a lot going on.
I know
on.
People that do it every year.
I mean, unless it was just family,
yeah.
People would just get on my nerves. I could not stay in one house for a week with 25 people.
No, right. I know. I have friends, and I can tell you who they are during the next break, and they stay with like 30 or 40.
Oh.
They do it at the Outer Banks.
Could you do that?
I do it with 18.
Well, yeah,
that's pretty close to 25.
True, but that's your family.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
It's true. But no, I don't. I think I would struggle with one. But yeah, I guess you get sort of used to it, to the chaos. But you know, you have, I don't know.
I mean, can you imagine dinners where
15, 18 adults and like 25 kids?
Well, it's like 25 different schedules too.
Exactly.
Well, you have a mass lunch and a mass dinner, and people just do whatever they want. And
yeah.
That's basically
like
what it
maybe
is.
Maybe like one night, one family does all the cooking, and then you just rotate it throughout. I don't know.
But
like,
I would want to get off, you know, by myself at times.
Yeah.
And it would be almost impossible unless you went into your bedroom and closed the door.
Right.
Well, that's what you would do. You go in the bedroom and close your door.
Right. And I just couldn't do it.
It's a different vacation. It's not a just chill, get away from people.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very relaxing.
It
sounds like there's a lot of moving parts.
It's a chaotic family, friends, crazy vacation.
Now, the house was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it was something out of like HGTV.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just looked at the price and I was like, I mean, That thing, if you're making 17, 18 grand, whoever the owner is,
yeah.
I mean, it was probably a $10 million home.
Yeah.
But they're getting 17 to 20 grand a week, probably from spring break all the way through September.
Sure.
I mean, there's a clock in it. But, man.
Yeah, they have a big nut. They got a big nut to cover.
Now, maybe it wasn't $10 million. Maybe it was $5 million. I don't know.
Yeah, but still. I mean, that's.
But, I mean, the house is massive.
You didn't Zillow all that?
I mean, I just looked at the pictures online. It was fat.
Right.
The place was ridiculous.
Bung Bung Beach.
But then I saw all the people on the beach because they were all staying right next to us.
Yeah.
Right. And
so many.
It's a lock.
So many pale people from Rochester.
Yeah.
I mean, nine month long winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to bleak place.
They didn't drive, did they?
Some of them did.
Oh,
some of them flew. Some of them drove.
Well, that's like a 20 hour drive. Yeah.
I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, but give them a break. They live in Rochester.
Yeah,
it's pretty,
first time I've seen the ocean.
That's their one trip a year where they just get out.
You didn't go in the water, did you?
Well, not in the ocean, no. Just the pool. Pool was great. And then there was a house right next to us. During the week, there were just regular families. Then on Friday, all these college kids from Clemson are staying in this one house. There must have been 30 of them.
Oh.
And I can't imagine what was going on in that house.
No, I can
everything you can think of.
Everything.
Everything
and
you can think of.
Me and my buddy were like, maybe they'll invite us over. But the cops had to come a couple times.
Yeah,
tell them to zip it.
This is right next door.
Right next door.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, they were going crazy. At 10 a.m., they were getting after it. And then, you know, till probably 2, 3 in the morning.
It just never stopped.
Never stopped.
That was a week of getting
after it. See, that would tilt me. If they're beer bonging at 3 in the morning.
Oh, they were
just trying to get some sleep.
Oh, they were doing that.
I mean, I was tilted that they dropped the puck at the Caps game at 8:20.
Right.
I mean, it was butt late. I mean, I know it's a Saturday night. I understand it's national TV. You have to make your accommodations for television. I understand it. But an 8:20 puck drop is very late.
Starting late.
It's very late.
That was another reason why I left Hilton Head so early, because I wanted to get back to watch that game. If I would have left 10, 11 o'clock, I'd probably still be on 95.
Right.
Well, we stayed at the downtown Marriott right there in Philly. It's the downtown Marriott in Philadelphia, whatever. And there was also, there were a million volleyball kids in town, right, for the NEQ tournament.
Yeah.
But there was also a medical school convention. So all these doctors, and they were finishing medical school, and they were partying like college kids.
Oh, really? They're getting after it?
It was outrageous. They were allowed. We had families like demanding that they move their rooms because the doctors. There are all these volleyball kids and all, you know, everything else in this huge hotel.
You would think that the volleyball kids would stay up late.
The doctors were the ones making everybody crazy.
Right.
They were partying like rock stars for like three straight days.
Right.
You know, I guess kind of a rite of passage, maybe the last thing you do before you settle in.
If you were grinding it out with your nose in the medical book
for all those years,
you want to get after it too.
You're ready to blow off some steam.
They're allowed to. They're allowed to, too, I guess.
I just couldn't believe that.
Did you guys see the story? So, you know, this has been out there for a few weeks, but that Matt Stafford's wife, unfortunately, had this brain tumor. And I think they feel optimistic about it, right? And she had surgery over the weekend, and she was terrified. Who wouldn't be terrified, right? You can have brain surgery, but fortunately, I think it's a tumor they think that they can handle, they can get out. It was scheduled to be a six-hour procedure, but because there was some sort of weird, nerve or something around it, it ended up taking 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But she looks okay. She posted like a heartfelt message on Instagram, thanked everybody for all the well wishes and everything. But then they also included like video of her like, her first sort of steps after the surgery. And, you know, those of us that have surgery know, I mean, that'll rock you, whether it's a heart surgery or a shoulder surgery or whatever. But brain surgery in particular, she kind of looks like he's kind of having to relearn how to walk almost for a second. Isn't that amazing? You go into a hospital, okay, certainly you have this tumor thing that needs to be addressed, but that you could just go into a 12-hour procedure.
Normal, right?
And then you have to come out of it and you got to relearn how to do the most basic things. It's just staggering.
Yeah.
And, you know, our best wishes to her, and I think that she'll probably, hopefully, be okay. But I just can't imagine that.
Mm.
I can't imagine that. How they could go in your head, pull out that tumor, which is incredible and amazing and miraculous enough, but then that procedure alone just, like, rocks your equilibrium and your whole sort of ability to walk again.
Yep.
And God only knows what else she's going to have to relearn to do.
Well,
just scary
alive,
stuff. Yeah, super... Super good news.
I mean, it's
though,
like
hopefully.
Mark Leishman, the PGA golfer, his wife, I think she had sepsis, right? Didn't she?
Right.
And they gave her like a 5% chance to live.
Ooh, right.
And he had the surgery, and I don't know how they treat that, but she came out of it. Now she's fine. But when she went to the hospital, she had a 5% chance.
Oh, man, if a doctor tells me I have 5%, I'm focusing on is the 95% chance that I don't make it through.
Me too.
I hear 5% and I immediately go to, well, that means 95% chance. This is my last stop.
Yeah, you're probably
this
out.
Is it.
Right.
But it's a terrible way to go through life.
I'm wired the same exact way, Cakes.
Why do I have to be such a fatalist?
Why do I know I'll never beat the odds?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, did you see CK sent us the Metro video? So talk about beating the odds.
Yes.
That video came out pretty good.
Look at
the promo that we shot.
Excellent.
CK wanted us to put it out there, and Metro people wanted us to put it out there on social media. Jason, I don't know if you clicked on it.
I didn't see it, no.
But it came out really, really well. And last time I checked, Metro putting it out there on YouTube, it had something like almost close to 80,000 views.
Wow, very good.
So a ton of people are watching it. Now, I don't know if the video is going to be up on trains or if you're just going to hear the audio, but it's the 30-second spot that we did for Metro. It's very cool. Check my Twitter feed. I think I even put it up on Instagram, EB Junkies, if you want to see it. We shot that about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and I don't know. All things considered, I thought it came out really, really well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So check that out.
Some good production and direction.
By the way, the reaches of the Junks got down to Hilton Head.
Oh, the tentacles spread into SEC country?
I was at breakfast one morning with I brought my dog.
Okay.
We just sat outside.
Right.
Right, my wife and I and my dog, Luca. And we put a little Virginia Tech. My daughters wanted to get a little Virginia Tech collar.
Yeah.
For my dog, because that's where my daughter's
going to
go.
Were you coveting like all the silly boats and yachts that were going by as you were eating your breakfast?
No. This was like in the center of town. There's no boats. It was just a nice little diner.
Yeah.
And
what'd you have for breakfast?
I think I just had scrambled eggs and
grits. Did you do grits because you're in the South?
I didn't do grits. I'm not a grits guy.
They're so good.
I can't stand grits, actually. But there's a group of four people that sat down right next to us. And, you know, they were kind of looking over at us, whatever. And then we got up, we paid the bill and got up and walked away. And the girl goes, "Go Hokies." I said, "Yeah, thanks. My daughter's going to go there in the fall."
Right.
And then her boyfriend or husband goes, "I think you should talk more golf on the show."
More golf?
I said, "What?
Was Valdez there? Was it him?"
I said, "You know what? I do agree with you."
Right.
But, you know, then I asked if they were from D.C. Yeah. And, you know, they're from Gainesville, Virginia.
Oh, right. Very good.
I'm just random.
Yep.
Were they down there for the tournament or for vacation?
I think they were just down. I didn't talk to them about that. But
did you make that official, by the way, that your daughter's going to Virginia Tech? Did we all know this? Or is it just something that was decided and you didn't tell us?
I've talked about it on the air.
That she's going. It's official. She is going to Virginia
Tech.
She's
going to Tech.
That's silly in-state tuition. Clap that up.
Nice job. Help.
That's big.
That's
so big.
That decision, Jay.
It's big.
I like how you worked that.
Well, actually, it was... I helped to guide it a little bit.
Yeah.
But once she saw the campus, she was all in.
She fell in love.
Yeah. Because we saw seven different schools, and I really like Clemson, but she didn't get into Clemson.
Uh-huh.
And Clemson would have been, I don't know, 45, 50 grand probably.
Yeah.
But that was before she had seen Tech. Once she saw Tech, she was all in.
Really?
Plus, she's got a bunch of friends that are going to Tech.
They're great.
There's like 50 kids from her school going to Tech.
Wow.
50 seniors. So,
good. I'm glad it's behind you.
Yep. It's a stressful
situation.
It's very stressful. Just, you know, you guys went through it.
Mm-hmm.
Just waiting for, you know, your letters. It's funny because at my buddy's high school, I believe it's Holy Cross. I think it's Holy Cross. There's a wall of rejection.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. So all the kids.
Oh, that's Arctic.
They put their rejection letters up on the wall.
Oh.
You know, didn't get into Michigan, didn't get into Maryland, Penn State, whatever. And they put them all on the wall.
What the idea behind that is?
Just kind of goofing on each other.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? My kid's high school doesn't have that. But it is pretty funny. But when you get those letters back saying, yeah, sorry, you're not good enough.
Yeah, right. You don't
it's
make,
a little disappointing.
You don't
and you're waiting
cut.
For the kids to go, well, Dad, I'm not going to get in any good schools.
Yeah.
I said, no, don't worry. You'll get in some.
There's a school for everybody. Don't worry.
That's true.
Yeah. There is a school for everybody.
Even A1. That big dummy somehow.
Now, that would be my last choice, BCU, after Adams.
Oh, man, their public perception is taking a beating.
I'm still not sure he's graduated from there.
Yeah,
he's never shown us that diploma.
Nobody can be 100% sure about it. All right, don't forget, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Rob Carlin. That's at 8 a.m. to talk some Caps. And at 7:45, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see your Nats take on the Padres.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.